And Robson puts it away. 6-4, 6-1.
This is a podcast from thebuglepodcast.com.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to issue 240 of The Bugle, the prize turnip in the otherwise rotten vegetable box of life for the week beginning Monday, the 1st of July, 2013. That's another half year we won't have to do again. Phew. Half a year close to the merciful release of Armageddon. With me, Andy Zaltzman, live in London's glamorous central London district, and joining me by the commercialised witchcraft that is modern technology, live from the Big Apple, it's the Big Apple Pip, the Scheherazade of showbiz himself, John Oliver.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Buglers. It's been a frantic week here in the United States, Andy, with the Supreme Court throwing out decisions like it's their job, which it is. They struck down the Voting Rights Act and also the Defence of Marriage Act simultaneously, taking America 50 years backwards and hundreds of years into the present. It's been a crazy week at The Daily Show, sending us into our two-week summer break, which is now upon us. So we'll also be taking a couple of weeks off The Bugle, as I need to lie down and try to navigate the blur of what the f*** happened over the last month. But there was a nice moment. Last night, Tom Goldstein was the guest. He runs SCOTUS blog, which is a fantastic blog about the Supreme Court. He's a lawyer who's argued cases before the Supreme Court numerous times. And there was a great moment when I went to see him in his dressing room before the show, and he was with his daughters, and they were playing on the floor. They're about like six and seven. And he said to them, "What's the most important thing that you're going to remember about tonight?" And they looked up at him and they said, "Don't repeat any of the words you hear on the show." Those are well-trained kids, Andy, and he was right to prepare them, because little did he or they know at that point that the first act ended on a chicken f***er joke. Now, there's a context for that joke, but it wouldn't actually make significantly more sense.
And how was Maggie Gyllenhaal, John?
She was very charming, right. Very beautiful, she was very nice, Andy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You didn't tell her about the picture that you had pinned up at that BBC job.
Did I have a picture? I think I might have repressed that, Andy, I could have a conversation. I definitely, yeah. I do remember in the past finding her incredibly attractive. Distractingly attractive. And then I think I remember when she was booked on the show thinking, I need to try and behave like a human being. Not like saying, "Maggie, you might be the single most beautiful woman on the planet." That's not really a question, that's a statement. Tell me about the movie.
So this is Bugle 240. 240, of course, the number of pence in a pound until 1971. When we had decimalisation, before that, we were all 240% better off under the old pence, unless we owned more than a pound, in which case it started to balance out. 240, also the number of times Lyndon B. Johnson referred to his doomble bar as Little Mr. President in cabinet meetings before going off for a toilet break. And we've got some big anniversaries this week. Today, as we record, the 28th of June, 99 years since Archduke Franz Ferdinand had his clogs involuntarily popped. Disappointing for the big lad. 1st of July, John. I'm surprised you're being allowed weeks off the Daily Show on one of the most historic anniversaries in American history. 50 years of zip codes. I mean, where would America be as a nation without that?
Well, just bumping into each other, Andy. Yeah. Just, you know, postmen just slamming into each other, running mindlessly with envelopes with no destinations.
And, of course, Independence Day. The 4th of July, mm-hmm. But not just Independence Day, it's the 210th anniversary of the Louisiana Purchase in 1803.
What a buy.
Well, the USA bought 2 million square kilometres of real estate off the French, containing not just Louisiana, but loads of other states thrown in free as well. Not all of them still exist, but some do. They include Oklahoma, Arkansas, can I borrow your saw? Arkanax, can you axe? You Arkanax. Nebraska. Iowa will pay her back then, Wyoming and Montana. $15 million for all that. In today's money, $230 million. And you have to ask, John, was it worth it? Because on today's values, that land is now worth around $231 million. Is that enough? Is that enough of a return?
Top story this week, Brazilian protesters set their goals! For the last couple of weeks, Andy, tens of thousands of people in Brazil have taken to the streets in protests. At least I think they're protests, Andy. It's a little hard to tell with the Brazilians what the difference is between a protest or a carnival. Especially when with them involved, a protest can so easily turn into a carnival anyway when people suddenly start elaborately celebrating how well their protest is going. I think there are clearly some warning signs that can help you define between the two. Are people naked? Probably a carnival. Are they naked because they've had their shirts torn off while being dragged along the ground by police? Probably a protest. Are there people dancing? Probably a carnival. Are there people fighting? Probably a football match. Are there police in riot gear? Probably a protest. Is that riot gear actually body paint? Probably a carnival. Is there tear gas in the air? Probably a protest. Is there glitter in the air? Probably a carnival. Are there water cannons being fired? Shit, that's a grey area. That is a tricky one. It's complicated, Andy. They're complicated people. Even when they're angry, they're joyful.
Well, they do certainly riot with a lot more flair than our rioters, as we saw a couple of summers ago. Very tremendous to watch.
It's hard to know whether it's born technique or whether it's just the way that you're brought up to express yourself better.
But also, you have to ask, you know, with all that flashiness, John, is there enough end product? And I guess, you know, history will be the judge of that.
Well, we'll get to that. But, you know, the Confederations Cup is being played in Brazil at the moment, all around the country. A tournament which is supposed to be a warm-up for Brazil hosting the World Cup next year and then the Olympics. And Brazil f***ing loves football, Andy. Brazil loves bikinis, football, women with feather wings, football, beach volleyball, football, beach football and football. Those are the country's main areas of interest. But these rallies, protests, riots and violence are nothing to do with the particular games during the Confederations Cup. They were triggered by a 20-cent rise in public transport fares. And it just goes to show, Andy, everyone has their triggers. Now, it turns out that the Brazilian people will put up with a lot. They'll put up with systemic corruption. They'll put up with poor policing. They'll put up with deforestation and vast wealth gaps. But you do not, I repeat, you do not f*** with their bus fares, Andy. You don't do it.
Well, that's how all revolutions began, just like this one with, it was 20 Brazilian cents, 10 US cents, about 6 pence rise in bus fares. I think that's what got Spartacus so cranky when he went rogue in the ancient Roman days. Might also have been something to do with having been made to fight to the death for the sake of entertainment and everyone having sex all the time in slightly unrealistic ways. I don't know, but it depends how much history was in the TV series. Recent Turkey protests, of course, began with a little tiff about town planning. The American Revolution, as I'm sure our American buglers will know, kicked off because of a misunderstanding about whether you should brew tea in a cup or a pot or a harbour. The Russian Revolution was triggered by Lenin losing Beard of the Year to Rasputin 3 years in a row.
It was too much. Because at that point, now, when you win it 3 years in a row, you keep the beard, and he just wouldn't have that.
But Brazil, minor bus fare rise. And that is understandable, I guess, when your buses basically take about 3 hours to get anywhere and you have no money anyway. So that's, you know, an extra maybe 4 to 6 hours a day in traffic. That is 4 to 6 hours less that you can spend playing football on the beach with an alarming acreage of buttock on show. I mean, that is going to get right to the heart of the issue.
The public transport issue was clearly just the trigger for Brazilians to express other frustrations that have been building up. There are big concerns in Brazil over healthcare, security and rising inflation, and the government overspending on the World Cup and the Olympics has become the focus of this frustration. And you know that if Brazilians are angry about money being spent on the World Cup, there must be a huge problem. Because they would be happy with the government setting fire to a pile of money if they were told that pile of money was a sacrifice for Pelé.
It was exacerbated, as was the protest in Turkey, by the police reacting to the initial peaceful protests with the restraint and delicacy of a hippopotamus in a lingerie shop. Oh God, don't try the Basque. Don't try the Basque! Oh, it's not your size. That was inevitable.
The protests have spread across the country and you know, numerous people have died, and the Brazilian media claim the situation is out of control. In the capital, Brasilia, campaigners against social inequality placed 594 footballs in front of Parliament to show that, and I quote, the ball is in the court of the Congress to pass the reforms demanded by those on the streets. See, Andy, Brazilians even deliberate complicated economic issues through footballs, both hypothetically and physically. They love football, Andy. I don't know how much clearer they need to make it.
But there were, as you say, there was a lot of issues that have bubbled to the surface amongst the rather beef-laden placards at these protests, include one saying, schools, not stadiums, which, I mean, that would, I mean, if they do follow that, that will make it a very different World Cup indeed. Massive crowd here, huge excitement now, here comes the teacher.
Right, quieting down, please. Can anyone tell me the name of the Polish-born astronomer who formulated a heliocentric view of the universe? Yes, Xavi of Spain.
Is it Galileo?
No, it's not. Anyone else? Kurzhikov, Russia.
Is it Nicolas Copernicus?
Yes, Russia into the quarterfinals! And off the Argentinians went out after completely failing to understand the principles of differential calculus in yesterday's maths off against Mexico. This draw is opening up.
Oh, it's been a long week.
That's like a glorious one-man show, Andy.
Glorious?
You took me there. These protests have been the biggest that
just
Brazil
say a word,
has...
Say a word, John. I'm just happy. It doesn't need to be a major smurf. Just any smurf.
There is no major smurf, Andy. That's a fundamental misunderstanding of the smurf world. It's basically communism. It's blue communism. All smurfs are equal. Smurfs are more equal than others. Katy Perry smurfs is more equal. I can't talk about this, Andy. Don't get me into trouble.
Is she a smurf?
I think she's the lady smurf, and I can't remember her name.
Really?
I should have more knowledge of what the smurf movie is.
Does your smurf buff her smurf? Is that... I mean...
I don't... Possibly. They made me make a lot of noises in there. They can use those noises however they want.
You're just abdicating responsibility, John.
They said at one point...
I was only following
orders.
Act
like you're running. Those kind of noises are transferable. Anyway, let's... I cannot talk about this, Andy. The point is, the protests have been the biggest that Brazil has seen in decades and definitely throw into focus the questionable logic of spending billions on sports tournaments when millions of your citizens live in borderline 16th century squalor. But they're already showing signs of success, these protests. President Dilma Rousseff resorted last week to praising the peaceful demonstrations for making democracy stronger. And I wonder how gritted her teeth were when she made that statement, Andy. Does she have an emergency dentist at the side of the podium afterwards to prise her jaw apart? And the results aren't just verbal, they're also practical. In Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, the proposed transport fare increases have been reversed. The government has also pledged to speed up the broader reforms, and Congress voted to use all the royalties from some newly discovered oil fields for education and health. So again, Andy, see, they even protest like they play football, with flair, technique and impressive results. You can't argue with the results, Andy.
Well, I don't know, John, because when we look back to the last World Cup, Brazil started very strongly in the group stages, and then all looked to be going well. Those early results going forward, they couldn't see it through, could they, John? Couldn't see it through. They tanked it against the Dutch in the quarterfinal. So, I mean, will we see this all over again?
I'm just saying, Andy, they've already achieved some very impressive goals!
Competition time now, and we have yet another exclusive Bugle competition following on from last week's Do You Want to Know What It's Like to Be a Tennis Ball competition. this week...
I'd forgotten that, Andy, but I really, really enjoyed that.
Oh, good. Good. Glad to be of service, John. Just trying to bring some light into your otherwise unremitting gloom stateside. Now, there's been big stories this week about what is going to happen to British banknotes. Because the fiver is undergoing a change. The 19th century social reform celeb and humanitarian prison fan Elizabeth Fry is being ditched from the fiver.
Really?
Yep. Due to her face being too distracting and aggravating the economic crisis. Because been a lot of reports of people queuing up in shops to buy stuff thinking, yeah, I'm keeping the economy moving. And then looking down at Lizzie Fiver Fry on their banknote and thinking, Hang on, those prisons have not been sufficiently reformed. You drop your £4.99 Ming vase you're about to buy, sprint out to the nearest prison and start shouting, reform, cursed naughty house, reform! So Fry had to go, and the talk on the streets is that the woman set to replace her is none other than Winston Churchill, the man and V-sign pioneer. Certainly told Hitler where to stick himself with that. Also at the forefront of developing other hand signals, including the Shaka sign. That's the thumb and little finger out hang loose signal, which was adopted by surf culture, but originally developed by Churchill during his brief stint as Home Secretary to signal when he wanted someone executed. Also pioneered the loser sign, the talk to the hand sign, and the time out T signal, which I believe launched the Dunkirk rescue. But, of course, a big problem is Churchill's not actually a woman, which will leave Britain with a dude-only back of the banknote roster. And
That's not good.
It's not ideal. There's quite a lot of understandable upset about this. But that's not our problem at the Bugle, because we've reached an exclusive deal with the Treasury, Buckingham Palace and the Royal Mint, who are all big Bugle fans. And we're looking ahead to the next change of banknote, which is the £10 notes. In a few years. And the Bugle's been selected to choose whose face should be on the new £10 notes, alongside, of course, the Queen herself, the banknote babe, the cutie on the currency, the Marilyn of the Mint, Britain's leading numismatic model for the last 61 years. And Buglers, this is what this competition is about. It could be you. One lucky Bugler will be the new face of the £10 notes, the new mush on the money. Chris, have we definitely cleared this?
I mean, the ink is still drying.
Okay. So you will have your face adorning Britain's favourite banknote. Has it definitely been signed?
Yes.
Okay, right. Following in the footsteps of such luminaries as Flo Nightingale, the toastiest of all hotties from history, the Nicki Minaj of nursing, no less. it's just...
oh, fuck. Do you understand what you just said, Andy? Or did you just realise you needed some alliteration? You needed a singer started with an N, and you thought of Nicki Minaj. Do you know a single Nicki Minaj song?
It's did she do "Walking Back to Happiness"? Or was that Helen? Was that Helen Shapiro? I get them confused. We'll meet again. Was that no? Was that
that was Dame Vera Lynn.
She did the. She did Edith Piaf songs, didn't she? Did she do an album of Edith Piaf
no.
songs?
A simple no would have done, right. Andy. Okay. Simple no.
Simple no. Anyway. Also on the £10 note previously, Charles Dickens, the original Chuck D, hip-hop pioneer and novelist. is this definitely happening, Chris?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to raise people's hope. And of course, currently on the £10 note, Charles Darwin, the original Chuck D, the hip-hop pioneer, turtle fancier and inventor of evolution. If it hadn't been for him, we'd all still be dinosaurs, and I do not mean that as a compliment. So you would be joining in the current roster. Can you just give the guy at the Bank of England a call just to check this is...
Sure.
It's all right, good. You'll be joining on the current roster of banknote bonces, not only Winnie Churchill before he's ditched from the fiver, but also on the £20, it's Adam Smith, 18th century economic star. Alongside him, there's a picture of the... an illustration of the division of labour in pin manufacturing, which was... key phase in Britain pinning the tail on the economic donkey in the 19th century, I believe. Also, the smash hit author of the blockbuster The Wealth of Nations, which he explicitly linked the wealth of a nation with the quality of its motorway service stations. And on the £50 notes, currently you've got your Matty Boltons and your Jimmy Watts, the literally steamy Industrial Revolution hunks who did so much terrific work with steam engines, really kick-starting industrial manufacturing and making it possible, for example, such things as the George Foreman grill, the Oreo cookie and the Bugle T-shirt. So to win this honour, to earn your place in British currency history, all you have to do, Buglers, is promise to do something of similar cultural, scientific and industrial importance... an impact of the kind of shit that people like Dickens, Churchill, Watley and Darwin did. So email us and tell us how you would revolutionise art, life, international politics or nurses' uniforms to win your place on the new £10 note. Is this definitely...
Definitely.
Because I just read this article in the paper saying it's probably going to be Jane Austen, so... I mean...
It's fine.
It is definitely going to be a Bugler. Right. And they're not just going to be on the f***ing watermark or something, it's actually going to be there.
It's fine, it's sorted.
Right. Properly on the note.
Guaranteed.
Right. You're not just going to get a tenner and like stick a f***ing passport photo on it?
No.
Okay. good. You've reassured me. Email your entries to info@thebuglepodcast.com and mark your subject. Subject box, my face, your money.
Your emails now. We have an email here from Canada saying, Andy, John and Chris, in order of least likely to be hiding from the US government in Moscow. I've been listening a long time and I really don't have anything worthwhile to say to you guys. But then again, I'm sure sometimes you guys start the show feeling the same way. Wow. That's a very point that's very difficult to argue with. I'm a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Yes, the cops on horses with funny hats on your grandmother's Canadian souvenir coffee mug. And I was born in Newfoundland, a very funny place.
On my grandmother's shoulder blade as a tattoo.
I was born in Newfoundland, a very funny place you must visit. I was driving an unmarked police car, surely an unmarked police horse. I was driving an unmarked police car, ghost car, in Surrey, British Columbia, near Vancouver one day, listening to a particularly bullshittish episode of The Bugle, when a guy started changing lanes very aggressively while holding an iPhone in his hand. He was so focused on the iPhone that he didn't even seem to care about human life around him.
That's what good design does, isn't it? Yeah, distracting.
So I called up to him at the next traffic light, planning to pull him over and ripping him a new one using my ticket book and telling him he was an idiot for driving like that. While sitting at the light beside him, what did I hear blast from his window? The Bugle Rooster! How could I stay mad? I did pull him over and discuss roadside the awesome f***ing eulogy as well as his driving. If you read this on the podcast, he knows who he is and should make a significant contribution to the Bugle, as you guys saved him a very big ticket and a pissed off Newfie cop yelling at him. Love the show. Keep it up. Daily show is no Smurfs, John. Keep your eyes on the prize. And he says, P.S. I'm a Mountie, so I'm too polite to say f*** you, Chris. F*** you, Christopher.
We kept his name out of that for the sake of...
We kept his name out of that because... Yeah, but that... Yeah. But that is fantastic. We're buglers coming together in the best possible way.
Yeah, it's like the football match on Christmas Day in 1914 across no man's land. But more so. Thanks again for your emails. We're off for the next couple of weeks, but do keep them coming in and further suggestions for how John should end his run as the Daily Show host in a ball of... blaze of career ruining glory.
Don't say ball of fire, Andy. That's where you're.
Metaphorical ball of fire. I mean, it would be unmissable television. You can't deny that. It's true.
No one's going to forget that. It's not going to be like The Sopranos ending or Cheers, you know, where you feel, you're going to know where you stand.
So do keep the emails coming in to info@thebuglepodcast.com. Check out our SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/the-bugle. And don't forget to come to my political animal show at the Udderbelly on the 11th of July and the recordings of The Greatest Test on the 3rd and 17th of July with me and Chris. And now, over to you, John, for a final moment in modern broadcasting history.
It's been a while, but like any volcano, it must erupt. He has walked into the studio with a hot dog in one hand, a hot dog in the other hand, and a hamburger in his heart. Please welcome, from America, the American!
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing, huh?
Hey.
Big build-up there, build-up.
Well, that's how you like them, isn't it? Build-ups?
Yeah, I just want to be clear. One of my left hands is an Italian sausage. That's not a hot dog. There's a difference.
That's good to know. Now, you actually came into the studio bursting through a paper American flag. Well, and there was
I would never destroy an American flag. Let's go back. Let's go back. Take two steps back. Either we're going to edit that out or we're going to get it right. There's a couple of choices here.
So what was it?
That was what I would call a patriotically themed paper display. That's what that was. That was absolutely not an American flag. There were a lot less than 50 stars on it. There was a couple of stars, okay. A little red, white, and blue.
Well,
maybe, you know, an Uncle Sam face. You know, things you can rip through, but, you know, you get the spirit. But you never destroy an American flag. And I'm going to say that, too, while we're on this topic.
Yeah.
July 4th is coming up.
It is.
A lot of people think, hey, you know, maybe I'll put my American flag T-shirt on. Yeah? Do you put that in the laundry? Then don't wear it, okay? Because it's disrespectful.
So you're saying don't wear it or don't wash it?
Look, if you love the flag, it's a flag, all right? You don't turn it into underwear. You don't need your dirty balls rubbing against red, white, and blue. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You don't need old Saggy rubbing against old Glory, is what I'm saying, all right?
That, I mean, that makes some. That kind of that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, where do you stand on an American themed leather jacket?
Well, you know, it depends. Is it American cowhide? You know what I mean?
Well, guess
if you look, if it's made out of kangaroo leather, don't wear it. You know, you got to know where it's made. If it's made by China, burn it. That's not. By the way, if a flag is made in China and you burn it, that's not disrespecting the flag.
That is absolutely.
It is not disrespecting the flag.
That is awful advice.
It's disrespecting Chinese crap. What they make in that country is garbage.
Wow.
It's some kind of an Asian fusion. Okay. I don't know what it is.
Okay, let's.
It's not anything of quality.
Okay.
It's garbage.
Well,
they work their workers till they die.
Yep.
They're not right. They don't respect them. There's no unions.
Okay.
Low
okay.
wages.
Yep.
Don't even get me started.
I didn't get you started. I literally made one comment about how you walked into the studio and now we're here.
But that's how life works.
Okay.
You know? It's a big series of questions.
Well, that is unexpectedly profound, American. Yep. Now, we have a lot of questions for you from
well,
Buglers.
Look, I heard the ratings have been down. You know, you guys need a little boost.
A little boost.
I get it.
So first.
Freaking ding dang over here.
First, Simon Canning has tweeted in a question, where the f*** have you been and why?
It's a good question, Simon. First of all, I appreciate the way it's worded. It's straightforward. You're not beating around a bush there. You're literally asking me, where the f*** have I been?
Yeah.
The answer is this. I've been trying to do something special. I've was attempting to be the first man to circumnavigate the globe on a jet ski.
Is that?
Yeah.
Hold on. I mean, obviously that is not possible.
Well, that's what they said.
Well, that's because that's what the designers of jet skis said.
No, that's what everybody said. The scientific community.
Yeah.
Even a religious community chimed in. Well, really just my priest was like, you should not do this.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I didn't listen.
Yeah.
And I was going, no, you know what? They told that to Amelia Earhart. Look how great she ended up, you know?
Yep.
And they told that to the other guy, Lindy. What's his name? Lindy, the guy whose baby they took? Yeah, they told it to him. The point is this.
Yeah.
I almost did it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
How far did you get?
Yeah.
I got off the Long Island Sound out into the Atlantic. And what happened was this. I ran out of gas. But I knew that I had to pack a little bit of extra gas.
That sounds very dangerous.
Well, no, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Now, what I did was I put a sail on my jet ski. It got a little bit. The truth of the matter is I didn't make it that far, but there was some initial design flaws with my team.
Okay.
On the jet ski. We're trying to make kind of a long range jet ski. We're working on it right now. The boys down at the shop are working on it.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Andy, have you got any questions from a bugler?
Well, this one came in from Otto. Who says, dear American, you and Edward Snowden on your jet skis, how long would you be able to outrun the authorities?
Well, first of all, if I was next to Snowden on my jet ski, I'd turn around and handcuff him. Because he's a criminal.
Really? So that's interesting. We've had a lot of other questions from buglers saying, now, is he an American hero or is he an American villain?
Oh, it's a very simple answer. You know, I don't even know why it's still up for grabs here. He was initially an American hero. Because he ratted out the Obama nanny state for spying on us. And I said, this guy deserves a medal. Then all of a sudden, he's got to open his big mouth about how we're spying on other countries.
Right.
Yeah, of course we're spying on other countries. You know what I mean? I mean, well, what do you got? You got to tell everybody now and make it awkward for us? So then he went right there from hero to Benedict Arnold.
Right.
All right?
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
He's a Benedict Arnold.
Yeah.
Really? You feel that strongly about it?
Yeah. He was a traitor, Benedict.
So you that is correct. So how are you okay then with the U.S. government spying through your emails and
no
and
of course not, but I'm okay with them spying through your emails. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on over in England. I want to know what's going on in Russia. I don't ever trust the Russians. This whole BS the last couple of years, we're friends. We've never been friends with the Russians. Yeah.
Okay,
this
okay.
Poutine character, I don't trust him one bit. Any man who doesn't wear a shirt. On a horse, I don't trust.
Okay.
Not on a shirt's fine, but not on a live animal.
Okay.
any live animal.
Live animal. You're around an animal, you put a shirt on.
Poutine is just a
out of respect.
Snack.
Yeah.
Out of laws of nature. You don't want bad skin touching a pig or something.
Well, on the subject of geography, we have Mr. Graham Pierce says, can you point to Syria on a map of the world? In fact, can you identify any country apart from those in North America?
Well, I mean, look. There's a hunk of countries over there.
There is
you know,
a hunk. That's,
with,
that's
you know, like around Israel over there.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Syria?
Yeah. Well, what's the difference between Syria and Israel?
Well, no.
Historically.
I know where Israel is, but then there's a whole group that surrounds it, you know,
there
like
is, yeah.
Iran, Syria,
yeah.
you know, Liberia, you know, hysteria. I don't know what he's... It doesn't make a difference. All I know is they're all bad. They're all bad.
They're all bad.
Yeah, it's Israel good, it's good, and then bad. It's not that complicated. There's a little bit of strip of good in a big sea of bad.
I mean, that is...
Do I need to know what borders, which way? I don't know.
That is actually a pretty good way to articulate American foreign policy.
Yeah, you know, like, well, that's the thing. We always overcomplicate things. There's a red ring around a blue ring. You know what I mean? There's good and there's bad. Black, you know, black, white, yin and yang.
This question came in from Johnny Ingram, who writes, do you think John's hosting of The Daily Show is destroying everything that makes America great? We had a number of questions basically along the same lines, suggesting a lot of people would definitely answer that yes. Well, what's your view on it, American?
Well, look, I'll be quite honest with you. I'm more of a Glenn Beck guy than a John Stewart guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think if you're going to get, you know, somebody who gets it.
You want the truth.
Yeah.
You want someone who's not afraid to give you the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, so look, you know, to me, John, one guy, John, one other guy, John, hosting a show. I don't know.
It's just another thing that you're not going to watch.
You know what I mean? There's only so much room on my TiVo, and Duck Dynasty's got a lot of reruns going on right now.
I mean, he makes certainly, and in terms of like the US TV ratings, that is definitely, that checks out.
Right. Well, that's because it's a good show.
Duck Dynasty is, viewers may not know, it's about a group of men who make duck calls to go and shoot ducks.
Yeah,
and
but in other words, you think...
It's popular on an inexplicable scale.
Well, it's not inexplicable. I mean, they're people who work hard.
Yeah.
It's a family business.
It is.
It's not some big... Yeah, it's not some big, you know, Monsanto or whatever you call it over there.
Yeah.
These guys, they sit around, father and son, they have beards like gentlemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They sit there, they carve duck whistles out of wood.
They do.
You know? Jesus was a carpenter, you know?
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It's about real people. You know what I mean? It's about real things.
Okay, so Duck Dynasty. Yeah.
And it's a reality show. They should start, by the way, I think they should start making reality movies. You know, movies that aren't, you know, movies that are like about real things, you know? Reality movies.
Yeah.
That's The Love Guru was basically a kind of pioneer in that field.
There's no need.
By the way, love that movie. Love that movie. It's literally. Talk about an underrated comedy of our generation.
Oh, God, that hurts a little bit. That hurts a little bit.
I saw that movie on a flight down to Miami Beach. I almost wet my pants.
Oh, God, that hurts. That hurts worse than the alternative.
Nick Johnson asks, what kind of political system do you have when a woman talking nonstop for 11 hours is seen as a hero?
If you don't know, that's Senator Wendy, State Senator Wendy Davis in Texas. She filibustered an abortion bill down in the Texas Senate this week, eventually successfully, but she spoke on her feet for 11 hours. That's the background to that. What do you think of it?
I don't know. You know what I call a woman speaking for 11 hours? Marriage, right, guys? Huh? Okay. How come you won't give me a high five over here? I don't understand. That's a good joke.
That's a good joke. High five that. It's awful. That's just awful.
I'll tell you one thing I will say about Texas. Good for them. If you're going to make someone filibuster, at least make them do it.
A fair point.
Stand up and do it. There's nonsense in Washington. Hey, I'm filibustering. Yeah? Hey, gray hair, old man, why don't you stand up? See how your prostate could stand it for 13 hours. Huh? Mr. Flomax, see what you could do. Maybe you make the system work a little bit. If you couldn't just say I'm filibustering, but you actually have to filibuster. You know what I mean?
The terrifying thing is, Andy, he's actually right there. That is objectively right. That's how crazy things have got. He is right about that.
Yeah, I'm right about most things.
Being
scared of the truth doesn't make me not right. That makes you fearful.
Okay.
There was another question on filibustering from Love Rhino or Lovrinho. I'm not sure. Possibly a Brazilian footballer.
It's probably Lovrinho.
Yeah.
A lot of creative names out there right now. How about this blue, right? Blue. All of a sudden, that's a name. Northwest.
That's true. That
Northwest.
That's,
what are we talking about?
That's
over
Kanye
here?
West. Northwest. Wait, his name. Northwest is that name.
We're going northwest. Well, come on. What are we doing?
If the American were to filibuster a bill, what bill would be worthy and what tricks would he employ?
Ooh. Well, you know, somebody asked this on the Twitters yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of like a movie I liked. And then a lot of times, well, most of the time, they'll make a movie into a novel. You know, it's a good way to read a book if you don't, you know. And there was a novelization of one of my favorite movies that came out when I was younger called... with Corey Haim and Corey Feldman called License to Drive.
Yes.
And this is an interesting movie.
Deep cut.
It's an interesting movie because, you know, not everyone's able to get a driver's license. And I think this movie really, you know, it's worth watching. I'll put it on your queue. Put it on your queue under Love Guru. But I would probably read a book. And then, but Bill, I don't know, anything that, my guess is, you know, anything Obama proposed, I guess.
Really?
Does it matter which one it is?
President Obama. Let's.
You call him President Obama.
Well, President Obama.
Yeah, President Obama.
President Obama. Obama, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't anything he's done.
Again, when the birth certificate comes in, we'll see.
Oh, come on. Has that not been settled? Have we not settled that?
I know we've stopped talking about it. There's a difference between getting distracted and the truth.
Well,
all right, Aristotle.
Told you, I had an awakening out there.
What American? We get into that. It is that look, a man finds out about himself when he's stuck on a jet ski 30 miles off the Long Island Sound.
Yeah, you're adrift for over 4 or 5 hours in the hot sun. You start to think.
Yeah. American, I cannot thank you enough for being here. I think you made a good, coherent point in the middle of all of that. I think it may have been accidental.
You know, you guys like to dip those little jabs to me, you know what I mean? You like to undercut sometimes, and I don't mind. I get it. There's a little rivalry here, you know what I mean? I get it. Yeah. You know, we're the best. You used to be the best. I understand. But I will say this. It's always a pleasure to see you guys.
Well, that's very
cool. This close to July 4th, I think it's important to really be friendly and sweet if you see a British person, because it's a very tough holiday for them. Don't forget.
It is.
Don't forget.
That's
you know what I mean?
Nice.
It's like celebrating D-Day around a German. It is. You know what I mean? You just want to be...
Let's not compare.
You want to be friendly. You want to be friendly. But at the same time, remind them they were wrong. All right.
So
wrong.
I mean, so how are you going to be celebrating it this year?
The way I do every year, blowing stuff up. Yeah. What I mean, I think what we're going to do is I have a lot of my friends. I sent out a mass email, which people love, by the way. Group and this BCC nonsense, unnecessary. That's the way you get people to get in touch. Anyway, I told them all. I said, go around your house, look underneath, and if it says "Made in China," put it in a box.
Oh no.
We're gonna put a barge out on the Sound, and we're gonna blow it up. Not even fireworks. We're gonna stuff it with fireworks, but mainly with Chinese items, and just sink it and blow it up.
I'm 100% sure that is against the law, and the EPA are gonna come down on you hard.
Oh yeah, the EPA. Oh okay, nannies, you know, running after me. The environment. Let me tell you about the environment. You know who's ruining it? The Chinese. Okay. By sinking their stuff, we're saving the environment on the long term. Look at that smog over that country.
Okay.
Look,
Okay. Well, happy July the 4th. It does hurt to say that a little.
Yeah, USA.
Okay, there it is. We'll look forward to hearing from you next time.
Yeah, hey, you know, you guys got my number, right?
Yeah.
You know, feel free to dial it, you know?
Okay.
Feel free to dial it.
We will.
Look, I'll lower my rate if that's the issue.
The American, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, nice to be here.
So that's it for this week. I think we promised you a British Lions rugby update, but we've run out of time because of our special guest this week. So we have to leave the studio. So we will have the exclusive result of the British Lions Test Series in the next Full Bugle in 3 weeks' time. So otherwise you're just not going to know unless you're actually at the ground, as we are the exclusive rights holders to that series. We will probably put out some half-assed bullshit sub-bugles to assuage your grief and staunch your tears of devastation due to the lack of a full bugle over the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, again, check out the SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/thebugle, and thebuglepodcast.com, where you also find links to the greatest test cricket show. A couple of weeks off, you won't be able to see John on the Daily Show for the next 2 weeks. So it's going to be a tough fortnight for everyone, John. The world's going to seem an emptier place. So we will talk at you next week or the week after. We'll be back with Bugle 241 in 3 weeks' time. Until then, buglers, goodbye.
Bye.